Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing good. However, before we start this podcast, I have some new rules for us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we had a little break. So from now on, I don't want this podcast to have any mimes, no magicians, no Barry Manilow, no Elvis impersonators, no motivational speakers, no comedy troupes, no breakdancing, no gangster rap. And no animal tricks.
I'm really upset because I had planned like a whole rap song that was gonna happen like midway through, and now I have to cancel it.
Yeah,
I have some calls to make now. You know.
Yeah. I know the we think of ourselves as motivational speakers, so it now we can't be on our own podcast, but it's okay.
We motivate everybody
to turn us off and go outside. Yes,
to go find something else to do.
Yeah. They're like, no, I don't want to.
They're like, yeah, we really, I think we motivate people to like do better with their lives because they're like, you know what I mean? They're like, do we want to end up like these two talking about Dawson's Creek and other shenanigans?
No. Aside from the fact that we're also like old AF and talking about Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I actually felt very young today because I got to explain to my older coworkers what Chugi meant, and I also got to explain to them Bones and No Bones.
Yes.
And I just felt like the youngest person ever. And okay. I was like, I told my coworker, I was like, go home and ask your teenage daughter about Bones or No Bones. I bet she knows what it is.
Says the 30-year-old woman. Also, I heard that like only millennials care about Bones or No Bones.
I don't. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't care because that fucking pug is so cute that I want to die. Its name is Noodle. Yeah. So for those who don't know, and if you don't, what are you doing with your life? There's a dog.
They're doing better things than us. That's what they're doing.
It's fair. There's a dog named Noodle, and he's a pug, and he's 13 years old. And his owner every morning and wakes up, and he goes over to Noodle, and Noodle's laying in his bed, and he picks him up, and he figures out, is today a Bones or a No Bones day? And what that means is, when he lets go of Noodle, does Noodle support himself and his weight on his front paws, or does he flop over? If he flops over, it's a No Bones day, and that means it's okay. Put your sweatpants on, relax, get under a cozy blanket, light a candle, treat yourself. If it is a Bones day, you're going to be productive. You're going to get shit done. And I highly relate to this dog, Noodle.
I liked it better when I thought that there was actual dog bones underneath him.
Why? You're telling me you don't have no bones days? This is a lie.
When you have clinical depression, every day is a no bones day. Like, what do you what do you think we're doing here? Are you joking?
Every single day I flop over. Literally,
unfortunately so. Jessica, how was your vacation?
It was amazing. I forgot that because we recorded Boy Meets World yesterday, so I forgot we haven't recorded Dawson's Creek in like, oh my God, forever.
It's been a minute.
It was amazing. I feel like there was a story I was supposed to repeat on the podcast, but yeah. I don't remember what the hell it was about.
Okay. So you went to Seattle and you had a lovely time, right? Yes. And then you went to Portland and some weird shenanigans happened.
Oh, it was the hotel in Portland, right? That's what I'm supposed to be telling. Okay, so there's this weird ass hotel. Let me tell you. How did you find it? I found it on booking.com, which usually has like pretty good deals. And here's the thing. This place had good reviews. So because I looked back because I was like, was I like on something when I booked this? No, this place had good reviews. Basically, it was called like the Stay. Oh, God. Stay Pineapple. I don't know. Pineapple's in the name. And it's in Portland. And it's in downtown Portland. And we thought it was very cute because all the decor was like pineapple themed. And we were like, wow, that's adorable. And it's a boutique hotel. So it is not like your average like Hilton chain, right? So we get there and we're like, okay, whatever, whatever. We get up to our room and we just start noticing like a trend. And the trend is that they really want you to be naked. Like on the bath mat, it says get naked. On the do not disturb sign, it's like we're naked in here. And like then there's like this whole card, which like I can send it to you. We can put it on our social media. There's this card that like explains that there's this system, this bed system, right? So instead of, it's called the naked experience.
So they want you to sleep naked.
They want you to sleep naked, but it doesn't make sense because it's like they both want you to have sex and don't want you to have sex because they want you to be naked. But this stay naked thing is basically like each individual gets their own duvet. So this card that they had showed how you're supposed to make this bed in a very specific way so that you each get your own duvet cover and you're like, I guess, naked. And on this card, there was like a pineapple with like its skin torn off. Like it was the weirdest thing. Like they were, I have so many photos of like every, they had a TV on and it had all these ads and they were obsessed with like this husky puppy because it was like a dog friendly hotel. It was just the weirdest place to stay.
Yeah.
And we were like totally weirded out. Like people we told thought we were like at a swingers hotel.
Well, I think I was the one that brought up that like pineapples are the symbol for swingers.
Yes. And like no one here. Listen, here's the thing. None of the reviews said anything about swinging. No one ever approached us about swinging.
That's a little sad.
But I would say don't stay at this hotel. And my main reason for saying that is because we had booked and I paid extra for a balcony because we wanted a balcony. We thought that'll be nice, you know, and we saw these wonderful views. It was like overlooking a nice like river area. No, bitch. No, I overlooked the fucking freeway and the parking lot. Like it was not great.
Did you get your money back for the balcony?
No. But
you didn't ask for it.
I didn't because it was like they tricked me and I was like susceptible to their trickery. But anyway, we only stayed there for 2 nights.
Entranced by the pineapples.
It's too many fucking pineapples, man. So don't stay there if you ever go to Portland because it's weird and you'll probably get a shitty room that you paid extra for. And it didn't have a bath either. And like, you know what? I really wanted a bath.
Yeah.
And that's my story. Oh, and they had a toilet paper roll that was like wrapped up to look like a pineapple. I'm telling you, these people were obsessed with pineapples.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they loved it.
But they didn't give us like a pineapple with our room. Like I feel like if they're so obsessed with pineapple, like why didn't we get free pineapple?
That would have come full circle.
It would have. Although maybe you're not supposed to eat the pineapple. Like maybe that's what they're trying to tell you.
I don't know.
But
I've only heard good things when you eat pineapple and then have a sexual experience. So.
Oh, that's the whole thing with like it tastes good, right?
Right.
Yeah, so. Like asparagus.
Aside from that, how is your vacation?
It was very relaxing. It was really nice. Now I'm back into the swing of things. It's been too long since I've podcasted specifically about Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, it's been a while because last week we had a special podcast, our surprise. So if you didn't tune into that, we are doing a Dawson's Creek drama draft. So we drafted our teams, Team Drums with 3 Z's and Andy's Angels. Mm-hmm. And we have teams of 5 and we earn points by character actions that they could take. So if you want to check out, we posted how you win points, how we win points on our social media, on Twitter, we posted it. So you want to know how we're doing thus far? I know I said we weren't going to go
No, but this is the first one since we did the draft. So I would like to know how we're doing. How's my team looking?
Yeah. So, and this is up until this episode. We started episode 4. So we have points from episodes 4, 5, and 6. In episode 4, Team Drums led the way with 8 points, while Andy's Angels was at 6. Ooh. Episode 5... Team Drums got 5 points, but Andy's Angels drafted Joey, and in episode 5, Joey got fired, which means you got 10 points plus a couple of Jack and Jen arguments and a Joey and Rob argument. So you got Andy's Angels got 14 points.
Holy cannoli! That's amazing.
Now, in this episode, I decided, or the commissioner decided that every time somebody kisses and cries, you get points. Because you know what? Let's just be generous for points here.
We lots of points.
I didn't foresee that Andy would also be a crying magnet. There's lots of tears that come out of Andy McPhee. So you gained 4 points from Andy's crying.
Yes, thank you, Andy. The titular character of my team.
Yeah, but
go Andy.
Team Drums. I have a lot of the boys that like to punch. So I got 3 points this episode for Pacey punching Rob.
Yes.
Thank you, Pacey. And we both got 2 points for the Pacey and Andy kiss.
Wow. Okay, now, do we have totals for who's in the lead right now?
So I'll tell you the totals where we're at right now. So as of our 3 episodes, as of episode 6, Andy's Angels is leading with 26 points, while Team Drums is a little behind with 18.
Not that bad, though. It's pretty even, considering.
Not that bad. Now, I mean, I will have a technical question for the commissioner/us later on in this episode, but we'll discuss.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah, so that's where we're at with the draft. We'll, check back in episode 10.
Yeah, we don't want to do this every single episode. We don't want to bog you guys down with our draft, but just to give a little bit of updates, we'll update on the score in a few
episodes.
And then
once again, our stakes is that somebody is going to have to buy something off of eBay.
Yeah. I love steaks.
Steaks.
Both the food and the other one.
I personally don't eat steak. I don't believe in red meat. I try not to.
You don't believe in red meat?
Try not to.
I don't think it exists. shall we get into Secrets and Lies, season 3, episode 6 of Dawson's Creek? I'm very excited. Yes. We're almost, and also, we are 6 episodes in, which means, according to everybody that's been emailing us, we are almost to the point where this season is going to take off. So,
a rocket?
I mean, that's what I've heard.
Who knows?
Oh, and before we get into the episode proper, just want to throw out a hotline. We are going to get into, again, some not great stuff here. So the National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-4673. We'll give you guys a heads up when we're getting into that topic. If you want to skip ahead, totally understandable. There's quite a bit of it in this episode. So we will we'll shout that out again when we get to that part of the episode. Let's start things off. We are at the school, and Jen and Dawson are just having a little convo. And she thinks that she's turning into her mom because this is going off of the whole like Miss Cape side thing.
Right.
And she's very upset that she's been homecoming queen. She says that she's like sold her soul. But Dawson says that they think that he thinks that they voted for her because she's different, because she did the whole, you know, fishnets cheerleader thing.
Yeah, and taking over the mean girl. Like, you know, she brought in a new regime into Cape Side High. So I think Dawson's right. I think that they like that Jen is different.
I think it's like 75-25. I think it's like 75 because she is like rage against the machine, and 25 because she's also very good looking.
Very pretty. I mean, she was head cheerleader. That's like when you think of homecoming queen, that's kind of what you think of, head cheerleader. So
yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
We get Mr. Milo back, and he is introducing her to a whole heap of Cape Side High homecoming queens.
This is fucking stupid. So I died at this. The fact that any of these women are still like around to just like waste their time and come on and be like, Jen, we have a fucking secret handshake. And literally it's no different than a handshake besides you put your pointer finger out. Ooh. Guess what? Dawson knows your secret now.
I did appreciate, like, why does Dawson get to learn the secret handshake? I did appreciate that they really did get different ages in this group. Like, they had, like, a girl that looks like she just graduated college. They had, like, girls in, like, their 30s and 50s. Like, I thought that that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So they're there because there's a gala that is held every year.
They're like, and if we call it a gala, it's going to be even more fancy than what it actually is.
Yes. And Constance Frecklings comes, and she gets outed by Mr. Milo as being the oldest living home queen, a homecoming queen. It's like, gosh, Mr. Milo, like, why do you have to be so savage?
Don't out her about her age.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like... This whole thing, this whole storyline, and again, I love Jen this season. I think that's like something that I would shout from the rooftops, right? As many issues as season three has had thus far, six episodes in, I'm loving Jen. Like, I feel like I've never loved her as much as I love her now, even when she first came in season one.
I agree.
And I just think this whole idea of like this gala for these homecoming queens is absolutely preposterous.
I guess it's like it's a fundraiser. Like, I don't know. Like, this is obviously like upper crust shit. Like, I don't totally understand what's happening here. Do you think, like, and apologies if this is like offensive, but do you think like Constance Frecklings is like in the same age group as Grams?
I think that she maybe is like slightly younger, because I feel like they want Grams to seem like really old. I don't know, because I feel like Constance, maybe it's just Constance has like more of a youthful energy than Grams does. But she also just seemed pretty like snooty and traditional. So I don't
really then know. Who's killing all the homecoming queens past 70 then? Like, why is Constance the oldest living homecoming queen that
maybe
they got?
Maybe she means like the oldest homecoming queen who actually gives a shit and wants to be around for this. Like, homecoming queens could have like moved, or they're in like nursing homes, or like,
I guess.
I don't know. But Constance is like the fanciest rich person name. Constance Frickling.
Yeah, she's fancy. We get to see her house. She's rich. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then this is like kind of like insane too. So they got their insurance money. Bessie and Joey got their insurance money.
Yep, finally.
And they've decided with Pacey's help that they're going to make their fucking shack into a bed and breakfast.
Their shack that they can't even get their phone working most of the
Joey
time.
Joey doesn't even have her own bedroom. She sleeps on the couch.
And
what
they're
going to,
And not only that, but it's even stranger because they need to do renovations. Like, they basically need to do an addition onto this house. And Pacey apparently got like his father's like cop buddies to do all this work for
renovations.
Free?
Now, I don't understand. Is this like a thing? Like, this is like now Joey's gonna have a bed and breakfast at their house? This is like insanity.
It doesn't really make much sense. Like, to me, open another restaurant. Like, I just feel like with all the drama they have in their household on a day-to-day basis and a fucking young baby, no one's gonna want to stay with you on the fucking creek. Who the fuck's
like
gonna
how
like,
many
go there?
Guests can they get in at once? Is it, this bed and breakfast is literally going to be one guest? Like,
no. Here, take Joey's boat out on the creek. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck wants to do that?
This is crazy talk. I don't really know. This is absolutely insane. But Pacey's there to help, and he asks what's going on, like what happened to her, like Marina job, and that's when Joey like tries to be like really vague and say like, you know, it was just, you know, something happened, like Rob like went out with a girl and I tried to stop it and he fired me. And he's like, well, who's the girl? And at first she like tries to lie, but Pacey can see right through, and obviously she's, it's a terrible Andy liar. Very bad liar.
And he's like, he's obviously very upset about this, like he doesn't like it, but Joey says, you know, it won't last, like she's too smart. But Pacey just kind of like walks away and doesn't really want to talk about it too much.
He's just like, whatever makes her happy, like he's feeling very defeated in all of this. And it is upsetting to him, but apparently it's been 6 months. So I mean, if it's been six months since she had sex with the random boy at the...
Yeah, and she was in there for a few months. So it hasn't been that long since they broke up.
3 months? I don't know.
I think a couple, I would say.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's enough time to go on a date, but whatever, Pacey.
Oh, no, it is. But I just think, like, he's not over her yet, right? Like, he's not dating. And we saw what happened, like, last time he had, like, a break. He was, like, immediately back on the market, right? So, like, obviously, he really cared about Andy in a big way.
Yes.
But, yes, so we're back at the Leary household, and Gail is back.
She's back 6 episodes in.
And I love how they call it the HQ gala. Like, we need to have an abbreviation for this gala.
Yeah, the H. And like, to nobody's surprise, like, Gail was a homecoming queen herself.
Of
like,
course.
You know, that's not a surprise. What is a surprise to Gail is that Jen Lindley is an HQ and has joined the ranks of all the other HQs in Capeside.
Yep.
And she said at the very least that this is going to be a fun party. And then in Liz Dawson to be her escort to the HQ gala.
Yeah, and like Mitch kind of like, I don't know, is it just me or did he kind of like stomp away a bit? Like, yeah, he was like, a bit stompy.
Yeah, I said Mitch is a sad sack. Like, I don't know. Like, you really want to go to the gala? Like, bring Nicole. I'm sure Nicole can get in.
It's kind of infuriating how like even when they're like done, they're over, they're done with, we are still getting even the hint of like this drama, you know? This is all we get during this episode, at least. I mean,
okay, so it's a little like bit later, much better. I mean, they like look into each other's eyes.
Exactly. You can't complain too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we're at the cafeteria and Andy joins Pacey and Joey, who are eating lunch, and Pacey finally, like, immediately bails. I know, right? We've been talking about this forever. Like, why don't they just sit together? Well, this is why. Because Pacey just leaves. He's like, oh, I have French studying. And she's like, you don't take French. He's like, well, that's why I need to study. And Andy immediately knows that that Joey told Pacey about her and Rob, and Joey has to explain about Pacey helping her with the B&B, and like Joey with like the heat, man, she was like, oh, well, you know, we're living paycheck to paycheck and we're like barely scraping by, so we need this B&B. And Andy obviously knows that she blames her for like getting fired.
Yeah, but
I just don't understand why Andy would still date Rob after she saw the way he treated Joey. You know what I mean? Like, if that's the way you treat your employees, you're probably not a great person.
I don't know. I mean, like, at this rate, like, she's already making other plans for other ideas. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that... I don't know. Who knows what Andy's up to? There's no logic, so we can't really, like... We can't really, like, justify what Andy's up to.
I think there's one moment in this episode where Andy feels like Andy.
Exactly the moment that you're talking about.
Yeah, and the rest of the time, it's like, who is this character?
I don't know.
People like Jen, I feel like they're shifting back in the right direction. Other characters, it just feels like, do you even know this character at all? You know, like, we've seen two full seasons of the show, and I feel like we know the characters better than the person who wrote some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
You know,
I feel really bad in this episode for Joey, because like there's so many times in this episode where she's just really having Andy's best interest at heart.
Yep.
And like even defending her, and she wouldn't even told Pacey if Pacey was like, I know you're lying to me, like just tell me, like, yep. You know what I mean? And even later on, where she really does like is really looking out for Andy, and Andy's like, you're like, you know, you're telling Pacey blah blah blah, and she's like, yep. No, I'm not, I'm just chilling, trying yep. to get my B&B in order. Come on.
So we now go to Constance's house, which is like massive and fancy. And
very nice.
Yeah. Jen enters. She's just like looking around. She looks at all these photos and she sees this like really nice like gown being made still.
At first, I thought the purple gown was for her. Like,
I did too.
I thought that like Constance like makes the new homecoming queen a gown every year. I wish
she did. I thought that would be cute.
At first, I was like, that's so nice. And I thought the whole thing would be like, Jen would be like, I don't want to wear this gown. It's too girly. Like, give me my fishnets. But then Constance was like, don't you like this nice gown that's for me? It's like, yeah. What?
Yeah, Constance makes them every single year for herself. And she, like, immediately, like, yells at Jen. She's like, don't slouch. Square your shoulders. Face the world. And, yeah, she talks about Hank, her handy boy.
Yes.
Who we find out is actually Henry.
Why does she call him Hank?
Hank is a nickname for Henry.
Is it? I wasn't quite sure if, like, he introduced himself and because, like, her hearing aids were, like, on the fritz.
I feel she like was she just like, gave
oh,
him,
your name is Hank.
I feel like she gave him the nickname Hank, right? Like, that's just how I feel like they, like, we get the feeling that, like, because he said he's been her next door neighbor, like, she doesn't really have friends, like, he's been going over there since he was a kid. I get the feeling that she's just gotten to calling him Hank.
I don't even know any Hanks.
Hank, I don't know any real life Hanks. Like, Hanks, I know, like, television Hanks.
Is Hank a good name? I feel like it's a good name.
Hank is a good name. But, like, would you name your kid Hank or would you name it Henry and call it Hank?
I don't know.
I like Hank.
Hank's not, I feel like there's like some, like people don't name their kid Hank. Like they should look into that name. But Hank is on the roof hanging the twinkle lights.
Yes. And Jen recognizes who Constance is, like, immediately, right? Like, she pegs her right away as someone who's, like, very much similar to her own mother. Her mm-hmm. mom wanted her to be a debutante. And Constance is pretty offended because she is, like, all these other girls, all these other years have been so excited about all of this. Like, they're pleased as punch to be here. They stand up straight, comb their hair, and wear brassieres. Like, okay, lady, just because she has curly hair doesn't mean she's a fucking mess.
Comb her hair.
Oh, that's, she said comb her hair. And no, I was like, you comb hair. Your hair, Constance.
Comb their hair.
Okay, but again, I feel like this is a slight against women with curly hair.
I don't think so. I just think that Jen's hair.
She thinks it looks messy.
Jessica, we know how disheveled her hair is all the time.
I mean, sometimes I thought it looked good in this scene, to be honest.
I mean, at least she didn't say wash her hair, because then you would have no defense.
True. I never wash my hair, so can
no, not
relate.
You. I meant
no,
like
I know,
Jen,
but I'm just saying.
Never washes her hair.
I mean, I don't either. But yeah. Yeah, and like, don't tell people to wear a bra, Constance. Like, bras are uncomfortable.
I mean, good for Jen to have them sit up high
exactly.
enough that she doesn't even have to.
Exactly.
And she's not flat-chested either.
No. As she says, she fills out a sweater.
She did say that earlier, yeah. So she runs into Hank, who falls off the roof because there's bees. And surprise,
why
surprise,
are there bees
Hank,
on the roof?
Hank is Henry, and Henry and Jen run from the bees. Yeah. Bees are very scary.
I mean,
bees.
Yes, but why are there bees on the roof?
Because, I don't know, wasp nests.
I guess.
It's terrifying. Bees are the worst.
Are the worst.
All the bees.
Well, bees are the good ones. Wasps are the bad ones.
I don't know.
Bees are like honeybees. Like, you don't want to kill them because they're pollinators.
No, I want.
You want to kill wasps and hornets.
I
want
to kill all of them. One time, I was late for work. I had to catch the train, and I ran to my car in my driveway, and out of nowhere, a bee stung me. It's like, fuck you, bee, I'm late. Like, why would you sting me? I'm just trying to catch, like,
on
a train.
Day where you have time, fine, sting me, but not today, B. I have places
it's
to
like
be.
And then like don't they die? So it's like, was it worth it, B?
I'm pretty sure it? Isn't their stinger like their penis?
I don't know, Jessica, you're perverted.
I'm looking this up. Is a bee's stinger its
I don't
penis?
That makes
isn't
no sense.
Isn't that what
sense.
It is?
It that says makes no sense.
Never mind. I feel like I misunderstood this. I think
now you're embarrassed.
When a male bee mates with the female bee, its penis, which is located internally, is everted. And so it's turned inside out during the process of mating. I thought it like fell off when they were done.
Jessica.
I don't know where we are.
Why?
I'm right.
About two bees doing it.
It says a male honeybee is a winged penis doomed to die immediately after losing his virginity. Exactly.
What
after
part
they
of the
fuck,
bee movie
die.
Did they cover this then? Like Jerry anyway. Springer is like, not Jerry
if,
Springer.
If you
Jerry
know
Jerry Seinfeld
bees.
Is like, and then my penis fell off. It's like, what?
If you know about bees, let me know. I want to know this
okay.
information.
Okay.
But anyway.
Joey and Pacey are apparently now having to clean up the construction because the cops left. And I don't know. Pacey is being very zesty in the scene. He's like in a good mood. He wants Joey to name this new addition the Pacey J. Witter Wing. What's the J stand for? What's James. Pacey's? Oh, his middle name is James.
Oh, I don't know. I just said that. Joseph. Oh. I don't know. Could be anything. There's a lot of J boy names.
Okay. Well, you know, if
do you want me, I'll look it up. I'll look it
were
up.
We're an expert, then we would know.
I didn't think I was.
And then she.
It's John.
John. Oh, because his dad's name is John.
Should have known that. Yep. That
is John. We're so stupid.
It's okay.
Blah, 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 banter, banter. But then Joey gets a call and it's Andy who is sobbing on the other end of the phone and she asks for help. And then Pacey and Joey look at each other and they know that they have a place to go. And that's to Andy because yep. they're both very good friends.
Yep. So trigger warning, content warning for what's coming up. We are going to be talking about sexual assault. So if you want to dip out, skip ahead, feel free. So Joey and Pacey basically end up at Rob's house and they're asking Andy what happened. She's crying. They're outside. She's like, they're all crouched down. She says they were upstairs. They were just kissing. And he like obviously was trying to push to have sex with her. And she tried to tell him to stop. And he just like wasn't listening. And she said she eventually got away. She ran away and she immediately called Joey. And this is obviously like really upsetting. Pacey is like, you can see like Joshua Jackson mm-hmm. does an amazing job in this episode because you can yeah. see his reaction. And like, I feel like, I don't know if you noticed this, but on my second watch, I noticed like his nostrils flaring in anger.
Really?
And I was like, that is such a subtle touch of like that's someone a... who's so mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. No, that happens all the time where like you see like people's jaws clench. Mm-hmm. Or, like, they bite their tongue. Like, it's just, like, there's such, like, when you actually get very angry, there's, like, a physical reaction. So, yep. to do something subtle like that is very impressive. Of course, he wants to know where Rob is because he's ready to deck the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy right away is, like, you don't have to do that. Like, let's just go. And he's, like, no. Like, I am going to kick his fucking ass and pulverize his face. So, yes. So when I watched this scene, I thought that it already smelled sus.
Yeah. I mean,
I felt like, especially coming into it when I was told that this was not a great episode.
So what is it about, I guess, what is it? Because I will say that to me, and I didn't exactly remember everything that happened when I watched it, but I didn't really get super fishy until like a little bit later. So like, what is it that stood out for you in like this moment?
I guess it's just the narrative. I mean, honestly, it's like very like meta and like like Dawson's Creek edgic. It's the fact that, like, I know that what they're trying to do is bury poor Andy alive and whatever they can do. So, and knowing that this episode was, like, I kept hearing, like, it was the worst episode. That it's kind of like that's how I got there. Now, if, like, I came in here completely blind and, like, not knowing a thing, that maybe, I think, like, when I first came into this episode, I was worried that somebody would get raped. We're okay saying that.
Yep.
Okay. It's a thing. It's a real word. And I was worried that it was actually going to be Joey coming into this episode.
And you thought it was going to be Rob based on
I
like
thought
prior...
that it was going to be Rob and it was thought it was going to be Joey. So I was very upset going forward. But then when I saw that it was Andy, I just felt like what can we do to bury this poor girl even
more? Yeah, it's really upsetting because Andy leaving season two is like everyone's favorite character, right? Like, yep. She was the top of our rankings. Like, she was a shot out of a gun, like, from the beginning of season two. Like, freaking launched to the top of our favorite character list. And so then come into this season where there's even a question of whether or not she's lying about something as serious as sexual assault is really upsetting. And like I said, when I first watched this, I was like, oh, I didn't remember that happening. Like, that's really upsetting. And like, obviously, Pacey's going to do something about it. He punches Rob. And like, when Rob said, I didn't do anything. And like,
yeah.
It was the way he said it that made me be like, huh, even though, and this is not me saying like, because men say that all the time, right? Like, people say that all the time. Even if they did it, right? They're going to deny it, of course. And we've seen, Rob is no saint. Like, we have seen that. Mm-hmm.
Rob be like grossly bragging about it? If
exactly.
If do something.
Right. And so you're kind of just like left wondering. And so obviously Pacey yells at him, he punches him, he says if he lays another hand on Andy, he's going to nail him to a cross. And then he just leaves, he storms out.
Well, yeah, Rob kicks him out. Get out of my house.
Yeah, he's having like this huge party. And that was the other thing that was kind of weird is I was like, Rob just like chills at the party afterwards? Like, it's possible. Again, none of this is me saying
like...
Was it
his party?
I thought it was at his house.
Yeah, it's his party.
Right, but I'm just saying it's like weird, like you leave your own party. But like, yeah, it is weird. He's like chilling, having a great time, like enjoying himself. And I mean, there are sickos who like that is what they would do after they did something as horrible as sexual
assault.
Yeah,
like you think of like frat parties, like that's the kind of horrible shit that does happen.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't. It's not like the whole thing is that like. I fully believe in believing women, like, all the time.
1,000,000%, yeah.
So, like, my automatic response is always, like, I believe what the woman is saying.
Yeah, you believe
like,
Andy.
I would, if I was Joey, I would act like Joey would. Like, I would totally believe Andy, like, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And even if Rob came around to my house and started ranting, my automatic response would still be, I believe Andy.
Yeah,
which
get
is
the fuck
Joey
off my
does.
Property. Who are you? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with, like, Rob's past, which was, you know, she literally says later in the episode, like, you know, you draw the line in the sand. Like, you, like, flirting with me every single day, even when I tell you to stop, is not that far away from what Andy is accusing you of.
Yep.
So I'm not surprised that, like, it would be easy for Joey to believe what Andy is saying. So.
Of course. And like Joey and Pacey are so supportive and right there for Andy and get her out of that situation.
Yeah.
But let's get into Henry and Jen a little bit.
Yeah, they're hanging out in this giant greenhouse.
I knew you would love this scene. He's like
beautiful.
Naming all these Latin names for flowers.
Yeah. She's an orchid enthusiast.
Yes.
Miss Freckling. Which orchids are extremely hard to take care of. So it's
Beautiful too. They're very like very beautiful. Expensive too. Mm.
And so it's very impressive that she's able to like breed them and keep them alive because I can't keep alive orchids. So Henry loves plants too. Who knew? And mm-hmm. I love how he knows like all the names and they get like flirty with like plant names. Like I thought that was cute.
This is like Henry's best episode so far. simply because we learn more about him other than he's obsessed with Jen and like plays football.
And
like
plays,
we,
yeah.
We actually get like background information on his childhood. He's always lived next door to Constance. He's, and we get, and because we get the way he relates to her, it really fleshes him out. We see him as more an empathetic character because she has no kids, no relatives. Like mm-hmm. he says, I've always lived next door to her and I think I'm probably her best friend. Like she doesn't have much going on besides this gala and the orchid situation. And so again, like we see, like Jen has it, has him pegged. She says, stop wearing your heart on your sleeve or you're going to bleed to death. Like he is a bleeding heart. He cares about people. He's an empath.
He's a real sweetie, this kid. Like
he is.
He, when he finds the right person for him, like, I mean, the girl's going to be so lucky.
Yeah.
A real sweetheart. And he, you know, he tells her that like, Miss Freckling was really looking forward to meeting Jen, and like it's basically like what she lives for, and I feel like that makes Jen like soften up a little and be like, okay, like I feel bad, like this is like literally what she looks forward to and I come in being all sour. So I feel like that changes her mind a little bit. We get Andy, Pacey and Joey are back at Joey's house, and Joey's trying to convince Andy to go to the police station and file a police report about this. And Andy doesn't want to. She's like, well, actually, he didn't really do anything. Like, we never really got that far. I stopped him before he did. And Joey's like, well, then please stay with me tonight because I don't want you to be alone. Amazing, supportive, fantastic Joey. Spectacular. Yep. Love to see it. Andy's like, no, like, I don't want to. And then Pacey's like, I can take care of this because, of course, Pacey will take care of this.
Because he's, yeah, because he also, I think that Henry is more of an empath, but Pacey's like that too. He wants to take care of people.
Yeah.
He wants people to feel love and supported.
I think that if Pacey grew up in a supportive, loving household like Henry is, I'm assuming we don't know Henry's household mm-hmm. situation, then I think that Pacey would be like as mushy as Henry is.
I could see it. I could see it because he's a little bit more jaded than Henry is. Yeah,
rough around the edges. He has like, you know, he has like a hard home life.
Yeah. And so he offers to take care of it. And I think this is kind of the first moment in the episode where we're supposed to start getting a little bit suspicious. Again, this is all very icky to me, but we're supposed to start getting a little suspicious because immediately she, when Pacey offers to help, she's like, oh, yes, great. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little weird. Especially can like, I don't know. I don't want to try to judge anybody. It's just like strange how this whole scene happens. And then we're back at Constance's house. And did you notice Jen and Henry were holding hands as they come back inside? And I'm talking like fingers laced, bitch, not hands cupped.
Well, yeah, like I'm sure that he like reached out and grabbed the hand.
Maybe, but like.
But she didn't pull away. Exactly. She didn't pull away. That's the thing.
Yeah. So they go back into Constance's house. And I love that, like, the idea is that, like, Henry is so persuasive that he persuades both of them that they both must be great people because he likes them.
I mean, yeah. He's like, you know what? Like, I like you and I like you. So you guys have to like each other.
Yeah.
And basically, like, he gets Jen to agree to, like, participate in the gala. And for Miss Freckling to like, you know, be negotiable about it as well. So he like mediates the party planning. They're the PPC. They're the newest PPC. Party planning committee. Yes,
party planning committee. Yes. So entertainment or food. And of course, Jen wants entertainment.
Yeah, she wants to plan the entertainment. And then, of course, we have Miss Freckling's list of don'ts. My favorite being... No animal tricks. Like, obviously, they've had this experience before.
These are so specific.
Very specific, yeah. Why does she not like motivational speakers? Like, I do have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I understand the, like, mimes and magicians and gangster rap and breakdancing. Like, I understand why she wouldn't like any of those. I feel like Barry Manilow's up her alley, though.
I mean, I guess she just hates Barry Manilow.
She's like, maybe. Don't. She's like, I'm an old lady. Don't tell me I like Barry Manilow because I fucking don't.
Yeah, yeah. So she doesn't even know who David Letterman is. That's how out of touch she is.
Yes, and this is when Jen announces that Henry or Hank is going to be her date. So, question. Do we think, and we can answer this maybe later on as well. Like, do we think at any point that Jen is leading on Henry?
I don't think intentionally. I don't think that this is like a malicious intention. I just think that she likes Henry as a person and thinks that he's sweet, but isn't like sexually attracted to him.
Yeah. I think it's tough because while I want to give Jen the benefit of the doubt, and I agree with you, like, I don't necessarily think it's intentional. I feel like Jen is, first of all, Jen is a woman. Like, she is an experienced woman, and especially she knows she's had a lot of experience with men. She's been in relationships before. And, like, she knows Henry has this massive crush on her. So to call anything a date with him, I feel like he's automatically going to be thinking things.
I guess so. But also, she doesn't even know anybody else. Well, I mean, she doesn't know at this point that Dawson's going to be there. But she doesn't know. Oh,
there's other people she could easily invite.
I guess so. Like, Jack, I guess. Like, she would invite Jack. Where was Jack this episode?
Honestly, Kerr? I just remembered he was
Kerr Smith. Are you okay? Yeah, did they like lock you up? Like,
why didn't he go with Jen? I feel like that would have been great.
I don't know.
Maybe they're still fighting.
I think that they resolved their issues.
I think you're right. Yeah, they did.
So Pacey shows Andy true love. Now, I thought this was interesting because I still think that he was originally making true love or fixing true love for him and Andy. So it's like kind of like so sad that he brought her to like a place that he envisioned that they would share together. And I think it was
this is like the project he took on to get over her is how I look at it. You know, like to occupy his time and his mind.
Yeah. Well, like she wants to know why they're there because there's plenty of other places to take her to that are quiet. And he said, I wanted to show you that I've been okay since we ended things. I found a way to turn what's been killing me into something potentially beautiful. And then Andy's like, well, I haven't gotten over you. And he goes, you will, McPhee. And I feel like that is this whole scene. It's like, I don't know. Once again, if you've ever been in a situation where there's still you're in a broken up relationship and you're still talking to your ex and you're in an intimate setting like this, this is how these conversations go. Because there's a part of you that just want to go back to how things used to be because it's comfortable.
Right. And there's still, because you remember the happy times, right?
Exactly. So there's still like a bit of like sexual tension. There's still a bit of emotional tension. Like, these are definitely how these conversations go. And like the second that somebody like calls you by your old nickname or says something that they used to say, like your heart swells and it's very hard to not get like lost in the moment. So I like understand how like Pacey kind of got manipulated into feeling like this is like a romantic setting and it was easy for him to kind of just jump back into it. And I think that obviously Andy is going into this like knowing that she once again like manipulated this situation a little bit, but also these are real feelings I think that she's feeling. I really do think that she loves Pacey. I really do think that she wants to get back with Pacey. I don't think that she really is doing it to be like some evil mastermind. She just wants it to like go back the way it used to be. Like, she feels as though she's done her time and like it should be resolved. And like in her mind, it's like, if I can just give this like a little bit of a push into like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like, if I can like, just push it a little bit, then it'll naturally go back to how it used to be.
She basically manufactured a situation that would bring them closer and bring them back to a place where she thought they might get back together.
Right.
And Pacey was like, you know, we can't. There's so many reasons. And you know, this is when Andy says, you know, you still matter to me in every single way. And they kiss, and then we kind of get to black screen, and then it's very obvious that, like, they had sex or hooked up in whatever way.
Hold on. Do you think that they had sex? And if so, do you think that we should put points there?
Oh, I don't think we should put points because I don't think it's clear. Okay. I think that at the very least they hooked up. But I think it's possible they had sex. But I don't think it's okay. obvious sex, because to me, we have to see like two naked, you know, two people under the covers like the next morning or something. You know what I mean? Like, or someone has to say they did it. I think this is not obvious enough for me.
But that's fine. I didn't give the points. I was just saying.
I think that it's not clear enough. But, and this is the point, and you probably know that this is what I was talking about when I say Andy feels like Andy right in this moment, because she's rambling and she's nervous.
Very Andy.
This is very Andy. And Pacey just looks like almost sad. Like, he doesn't look like himself. He doesn't look like he should be if he's happy that they're back together.
Yeah. It's like, you know, he feels like probably like the ick. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, I shouldn't have done that. The morning after ick.
Yeah. Like, he's definitely like, and he knows that she's excited. And it's almost like he knows that, like, she's in this great mood. And he doesn't know, like, okay, like, I'm happy that she's happy. But then again, I don't want her to be happy because I'm unhappy. And, like, I don't feel like this is the right thing to do. And she's talking about, like, oh, they're back together. And, like, she says to him, like, I just want to know that you feel the same way that I feel. And he says that he is feeling that way. But, like, I don't even know if he knows, but he's agreeing to.
No, I think that he is. Here's the thing. This is me purely guessing based on what we know about PC and, like, the way he looks and the way he's acting. I feel like he's not feeling that way, right? Like, he's not feeling those magical feelings of, like, yay, we're back together, bliss. I think he feels like, I miss Andy, you know, maybe we should get back together. Maybe enough time has passed. Maybe I'm over it. But even if I'm not, and I don't want to let her down, especially considering what she went through last night, right? If he's thinking that what happened to her happened, then of course he's not going to break this girl's heart after she went through something so traumatizing and so awful. And I think that, like, keeping that in perspective really makes more sense to what Pacey's actions are.
Yes, that makes sense to me.
He just doesn't want to hurt her. But we are, we're at the Potter residence, and we have Rob, like, banging on the door. He's telling Joey, you know, I didn't do it. He says that this is his side of the story, is that Andy dragged him up to the room. Then she immediately got upset and bolted. He says he's never forced himself on someone else. And he even, like, and I feel like this is, like, a very low blow, but he brings up the fact that she was, like, in a hospital for mental problems, mental issues, mental health treatment. And, you know, Joey is pissed, as she should be, like you were saying before. My reaction would be very similar to Joey's. Like, she's like, you hit on me every single day. It's not that far away from sexually assaulting somebody. It was unwanted advances. You were my boss. It's inappropriate.
She shuts him out. Yeah, I do too. Joey's spectacular. Like, she shuts him out. She doesn't want to hear it. Even if, like, at this point when she closes the door, she just, like, thinks, like, is there any truth to this? It doesn't matter, because she doesn't want to hear it from him. Like,
exactly.
And then she does the respectable thing, is like, I'm going to go to Andy and tell her the truth, instead of being like giving him like an ounce of her time.
Exactly. She doesn't give Rob any time at all. And on top of that, I do feel like she, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but she does handle things with Andy quite delicately, in my opinion.
Delicately as Joey can.
Exactly. And Joey is not delicate.
Never delicate. No. But she, with Andy, she does a spectacular job, in my opinion.
Yep.
It's like gala time.
Gala time. We immediately find out. So Gail and Dawson are there together. And we, like, immediately find out that Gail was, like, fired in Philadelphia because she looks too old.
What? Like, the public felt like she was too old to identify with.
Give me a break. The only old people watch the news.
And Gail's hot as shit. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I named these two people. I couldn't even remember their names. I named them Neil and Angelica. And I just said, fuck you, Neil and Angelica. I don't even know if that's their names, but I don't care because they're trash.
Yeah, no, they fucking suck ass.
Yeah.
So Dawson is really surprised, and he's like, why didn't you tell me this? And she's about to explain, but then Jen comes in, like, the craziest outfit with Henry. They're both, like, dressed up like pirates from a pornographic movie. Like, what the actual F?
Miss Freckling is like pissed because she's like, this is not suitable attire.
Go home and I can't believe you. Oh, and I'm sounding like Grams. I can't believe you, Hank. I believe this coming from her, but not from you.
Yeah, so, and then they go, well, you haven't seen anything yet. And then a bunch of drag performers come in, and apparently that's who they hired for the entertainment. And Jen and Henry are just cackling about. And then, I don't know, like, this is it. Like, this is the entertainment. Miss Freckling is shocked. She needs to sit down. And I was like, what in the world is happening in this episode? Like, when did we get drag performers in Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, this was like, here's the thing. I loved this from Jen. This was, like, very fun.
It was very out of left field.
It was out of left field. But I think when we hear from Jen later, like, what the whole game was with it, it makes sense, right? She's going to shock and awe. That's the goal. Shock and awe. And she does. That she does. Because Constance is like, what is happening? She says shit that is, again, not okay to say in 2021. But she is like, what is going on in my household? And you know what, Constance, you didn't say no drag queens.
She's that was not rules. On the list of no's, but guess what, next year that's gonna be on the list of no's.
Yep. That's gonna, well, who knows, because she was having a good time by the end of the night.
She was.
Yep.
So now this is the scene where Joey went to Andy's, where Andy breaks the pasta, which I feel like any Italian would be very offended by. Just wanted to point that out. And she asks if Andy told her dad about the Rob situation. And she says, why would I? It would only upset him. It's not like anything big happened. And, you know, Joey's like, you know, he could have hurt you. Like, you could have been in, like, a really bad situation. And she's just, like, she gets so defensive. And she's like, well, what do you think? Like, I cried wolf or something? And Joey's like, no, but I do have to tell you something. And she says that Rob stopped by her house and told me his side of the story and claimed his innocence. And then Andy gets even more defensive. And she's like, I can't believe you would listen to that scum. And she's like, it's painful because, like, Joey is just trying to do her very best to be a good friend to Andy.
Yep. Yeah, she's just saying, because Andy's like, oh, I'm not saying I cried wolf, if that's what you're saying. And Andy immediately jumps to the conclusion that Joey believes Rob. And Joey is like, Joey fully admits, and I love Joey taking ownership of this. And not that, again, victims shouldn't, you know, we're not placing guilt on any victims, but I love Joey saying, I wish I had reported him for how he treated me. I just like her saying that and kind of recognizing that, like, yeah, this was a problem. I recognized it. I didn't do anything about it. And again, she's a victim. It's not on her to speak up. People handle things how they can handle them. And Andy, and this is when it gets just so bad, and I kind of hate that the show doesn't, like, they go like the 80% of the way. Like, they obviously want you to know that Andy faked all of this without actually saying it, and it's kind of frustrating, honestly, because I feel like, as someone, and like you said, we believe women, as someone who believes women when they speak up about these types of things, it's really awful to watch, like, someone lie about it and then we believe it to be true and then we get, like, it turned on its head for us.
Right, yeah.
And of all characters, it's Andy that it's happening to, that's doing this all. And it's really upsetting. And I totally could understand if someone couldn't watch this episode because of it. Because this, to me, I really like the, as much as I think the homecoming stuff is stupid, like, I thought the gala was actually a fun part of the episode. But this part of the episode is just awful to watch. Just because Andy says, maybe this happened for a reason. Pacey and I are back together and everything can go back to the way it was. And, like, that's all she needs to say for Joey to be like, oh, like, that's what's happening.
But she's still there for Andy, of course, even after that. Like, she fully, you have to expect that she fully knows, like, but she still's like, you're still a good person. Like, you're still, like, you know, she it in a way, it's like Joey's never had a friend that's a girl. Like, she's never even had that many friends. Like, so it's like, but she's a loyal bitch. So, like, when she's in your corner, she's in your corner for life.
Yeah.
She's a ride or die. Like, she it doesn't
is.
Matter.
And I think the other thing that I love about her is she's just like, I feel like this also, because she's, I mean, let's be real about this. Season two, she was not best friends with Andy. We kept saying we thought they would get along, and they didn't really. And then season three starts, and the show tries to pretend like they're really good friends, right? Like, mm-hmm. Joey goes to bring her home from the hospital and all of that. And I think she's like, oh, shit, I feel partially responsible because of what Rob did to me. If I had reported him, maybe he wouldn't have done what he did to Andy. And, like, I feel for her, and, like, she wants to connect with her. And, like, the fact that even though Joey has these concerns and these doubts because of what Andy is saying, the fact that she is still there for her, it's like, she's a really good friend. And, like, Joey gets all the points this episode.
If we gave points, we would give her all the points.
Yeah. Pacey, too. Pacey deserves some, too.
Pacey gets points. So we're back to the gala. Jen announces the entertainment as somebody that watches a lot of Drag Race. I enjoyed these drag names. We have Amanda Wrecking.
Amanda Reckon With, like a man to reckon with.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Summer Clearance, mm-hmm. Megan Whoopi, and Miss Christianity.
I love the name Christianity.
I thought that was very good. And then they do a little dance, and like all the people are like either amused or horrified, or amused and horrified. And Henry is loving it, and he has like the hots for Christy, which of course is the blonde, willing to nobody's surprise.
Yes.
And she's like, Jen says, you know what? Like, homecoming queens and drag queens, like, there's not that much of a difference between them.
Yeah, they dress up and play a role. And I love that Jen makes this connection, and she's like, this is why Constance, like, she'll get the joke. She understands. And Jen and Henry start dancing. She's like, we gotta liven up this party. And Constance, much to her chagrin, is tapping that foot away. Very offbeat, by the way.
Very aggressive foot tapping.
Way off the beat, but like, she's there, she's vibing. Yeah. We're at Pacey's boat. And Andy has brought him gifts. She gives him a skipper's cap and her dad's old topsiders. And Pacey isn't sure he's going to finish the boat because sometimes it's harder to rebuild something than it is to build something from scratch.
Oh.
I feel like in the case of boats, that is completely false.
Oh, is it? I don't know anything about boats.
Building a boat from scratch? Are you fucking kidding me, Pacey?
I don't know. Like, if all the, like, the boat parts and all you have to do is put, like, I don't know how. Well, you're like an
he's
IKEA.
Building it from scratch. You need like a full on like wood a tree. Shit. I don't know. Yeah, you need a tree.
You need a tree.
He needs to go fucking down in the woods and chop down a fucking tree.
But like, this is so painful because like, say like Andy, like really like none of this happened. Like, this was all genuine and Andy really just wants to get back together. It's just like, if I feel for her, like she, of course. He says the picture that you have in your mind is something that was, it's never going to be the same way again. And she's like, it could be better. Depending on how damaged it is. And he says that their relationship is totally totaled. And it's like, I don't know. I kind of feel for Andy in this part. Like, you know, assuming that, like, I don't know, she was actually being 100% genuine. Because it's like, I don't know. I feel like people deserve to be forgiven or given a second chance. I know, like, I'm a fool, but.
No, I think, here's the thing. I think that, like, if you take away the part of, like, Andy lying about all of that stuff, her feelings for Pacey are very genuine, and all I believe that everything she's saying is true, right? I believe that, like, the reason she did what she did, which is awful and horrible and no one should ever do, is because she missed Pacey and is because she loves him. And she can't accept that it's over between them. And Pacey says, you know, last night was a mistake. And Pacey or Andy saying that it was the first day she's felt really happy since leaving the hospital is kind of truly sad. Like, it's really sad.
Yeah, she's it's been like, you're miserable.
Supposed to be happy. Like, you're supposed to be happy that, like, you're mentally well enough to leave and, like, come home and be happy. And, like, everything kind of goes to shit. And Andy practically, like, begs him not to break up with her. And she says that he's, like, he's still punishing her. And I think what he says is kind of a crock of shit, where he says that her sleeping with that other guy was her heart telling her that he isn't the one. I mean, I don't truly believe that. I think people can make mistakes. I think that he just wants to be able to
Pacey can say what feel what he wants to feel and say what he wants to say. Like, I understand that. Like, mm-hmm. to some people, like, cheating is, like, 100%, like, a non-forgivable offense. But I just, I don't know. I feel so bad. Like, I don't know. I'm, like, one of those people that's, like, I just want to give people multiple chances. Like, every, I don't know. I'm like a sucker. What can I say?
No, I just think like.
Or like, it's been like 6 months since that happened. It's not like it was an ongoing affair.
It's been a few months since he found out, though. And I think that it's Pacey's right to, even if he forgives her, it's still his right to not want to be back together with her because he can't trust her. And if you don't have trust in a relationship, like, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And then, like, once he finds out, like, what actually this whole situation was, it's like dead and gone. Like, it's never going to be fixed. Like, they're really burying this relationship. And it's like, fuck, it's so ridiculous. It's like, why do you have to, why, like, it's bad enough that the relationship had to end. Why do you have to take, like, your, like, hatchet and keep hitting it harder and harder and harder until it's pulverized into the ground? I don't understand why they're so harsh on that. And, like, we keep hearing from, like, you guys that, like, this was, you know, the whole, you know, going into the season, the Pacey and Joey thing wasn't planned. It happened naturally within the writer's room. That's what we're being told, which, like, I trust you guys, and I believe that has to be true. But then why do we have to, like, kill this relationship so badly?
It's not even just that for me, though. It's the way that they just do Andy such a disservice in so many ways. Like, it's every episode. It keeps escalating, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we start off with her cheating on PC. Okay, like, teenagers cheat. It happens. Even though we love them as a pair, like, it happens. Then she cheats on the PSATs, which, okay, people cheat. Okay, all right, I guess. And then this happens, and it's just like, where does it end? Like, when are we done punishing Andy?
I know, and then how do we, like, get back from this? Like,
that's what, like, I'm curious about, because I honestly do not remember what happens from here. So how do they walk this back? Like,
how did they walk it back? Does it get walked back? Is, like, does, like, the average viewer in 1999, like, watch this show and, like, say screw Andy? And then how does Andy, like, come back for a fourth season as a main character if they bury this girl's role so badly?
Yeah, because at this and point it's, I like, assume... we're not even mad at Andy, we're mad at the writers for what they're doing.
I'm not mad at Andy at all. Like, Andy, it's like, I don't know, but it's
like, almost like, how dare you write this as a plot line? Like, it's then, so upsetting. Like,
and then obviously you want to keep Jack in, so what? Yeah. Like, eventually you're going to write off Andy in some sort of way because America hates Andy because you made them hate Andy, and then keep Jack on for, like, four more seasons.
Meanwhile, season two, we were like, Jack is so boring. Andy is the best.
I mean, Jack is...
No, Jack, like, is great now.
Okay, the reason why we like Jack is because we like Jack with Jen.
Well, that, and because he has a freaking personality now. When he was with Joey, and, like, when he was, like, wanting to be with Joey, he was so bland and boring. And now he actually has a personality. But yeah, it's very upsetting what they did and, like, how they're treating Andy. And this entire storyline is, like, offensive and upsetting. And I could understand someone just turning their TV off and, like, refusing to watch going forward.
Like, how would anybody, like, honestly, like, obviously the cast at this point, I think, walked off. Like, this was probably the episode that, like,
this isn't changed.
This is not even the episode.
I don't think so. I think it's either be kidding seven me. Or eight. I'd have to look, because I'm pretty sure I know the plot line that caused that to happen, and it hasn't happened yet.
You gotta be kidding me. How does, like, the average viewer in 1999, like, go, like, okay, I'm gonna just, like, tune in next week and it's gonna be so much fun? Ridiculous. So whatever. Not poor Andy, but, like, poor these people.
Poor Andy as a character that they just continue to do this.
Yeah, she's devastated by this interaction, and Pacey basically shuts the door. He's like, this is not right. Like, we're not right for each other. Mm-hmm. It's done. Like, it is what it is. Like, And so then and then we get like a hard left turn to everybody doing the conga line. It's like, because why not?
Ridiculous.
Jen is with Miss Freckling. Miss Freckling is happy, and they apologize to each other for judging each other. And then she goes, the only last thing that I want to talk to you about is Hank. Hank adores you. Hank's in love with you, but you're playing with his heart because I can tell that you don't really love him back. And she's like, you're right. And then she goes into this sad story about how she had a beau once. He was an heir to a mattress fortune, a beautiful man. I'm thinking like a George Clooney type. What do you think? Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. She was 17 and they were courting each other and he asked to marry him at the his mother's gravesite on the anniversary of her death. What the fuck is this?
And then she leaves him, or he leaves, sorry, he leaves her because he ran off to California with the girl who sold him his Cadillac. Like, I need this as a spinoff show. Like, what is going on with Constance?
And then Constance was so hurt by this that she never dated or married in the rest of her life. And like, and to this, she's like, the heart is a fragile thing. Break it too badly and then you might never recover. It's like, Constance, get some therapy and go date and marry somebody
exactly,
new.
Exactly.
Get over yourself. It's not that big of a deal. Like, yeah. I understand, like, this was hurtful, but you were 17. So then you're going to spend the next, what, 60 years not fucking? Get a life.
I know. You're going to be obsessed with orchids and never have sex.
Like, what the hell? Like, dude, like, get over mattress, dude, and just, like, find somebody else. You're rich.
I know.
Go date an oil tycoon. You can be richer.
She can make beautiful dresses. Like, she obviously knows how to take care of herself. Like, you can get someone, Constance. You still got it.
Why do you have to, like, really degrade yourself to, like, living in, like, a crusty house alone?
Yeah.
I think that she just really wants to go after Hank, to be honest with you.
She likes that young
She's
blood.
She's like, my handy boy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is when we see Henry showing Jen, like, a spotted heart flower orchid thing. And he says it took 15 years for her to, like, breed this specific flower, which is, like, older than he is. And he tries to kiss Jen, and she stops him. And she says, and I don't disagree with Jen here. She says, you don't know me. Like, how can you possibly be in love with me when you don't even know me? And like this, I agree mm-hmm. with, right? Yeah. Like, it's very lust. It's very crush. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like love, well, like deep love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Henry says he doesn't think their age difference is a big deal, but Jen says 2 years with their age now is everything. I mean, 2 years isn't a ton, but it is. There are different points in their lives.
Yeah. Like, I think that, I mean, like, I really think it's a year. I don't know. Because
he's a freshman and she's a junior.
He's 15.
I thought it was
14. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Either way, they're 2 years apart. Yeah. And Jen says he needs someone who understands what he's going through and to go through it with him. Like, he needs someone mm-hmm. who's less experienced than her. And he says, but she hasn't fallen in love yet. And so he says, because of that, everything that you think about love is questionable, which, like, okay.
Okay. All right. Go off, Henry. Okay.
Yeah.
sure.
And Jen, which I do love this line from Jen of, until I can look at myself without judgment or condemnation, I'm not ready to be with anybody. And like, fair. Like, you need to love yourself. This is like RuPaul, right? Like, you need to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Like, you need to be accepting of who you are before you can put yourself in a relationship and care about somebody else. Like, that is 100% true.
And just Jen really needs to hold that advice to heart.
And I feel like she's making moves in that direction.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. So she says that by the time you get to my age, your heart's going to be, like, broken 100 times. And he said, you just broke it the first time.
Okay. What was it? I thought we had a closeness.
Thought
we developed a closeness, Jen. It's like my favorite line from the show. yeah, so he's all heartbroken. He, like, runs off. We go to Dawson and Gail at the gala. Dawson's upset Gail didn't tell him about everything, but she didn't want to tell him she failed. And he says she doesn't look old. She looks great. And he wants her to come home and he wants her to have a conversation with Mitch about coming home because he thinks, you know, well, you guys can still be friends, right? Like, you can still have a conversation.
Yeah.
Which, like, she doesn't have any other friends, Dawson? Like, just Mitch? Like, she doesn't have any friends?
No. Because, like, the only friend that she did have, like, now she's not allowed to talk to him. Bob. Mm-hmm. Bob from the TV.
Fucking back to you, Bob.
Bob.
Yes. And then we're back at the Potter residence. This is the Andy and Joey scene. So Andy is really upset with Joey for telling Pacey about Rob. She says it can't be a coincidence that we were together yesterday and then he found out Rob came to talk to you and now Pacey doesn't want to be with me. And Joey does admit that, you know, it crossed her mind that Andy might have lied about what Rob did. But she knows that Andy is a good person and she would never do something so plainly wrong.
I think that she said that because she's like, you would never do that, would you? And it's like, I know you did it, but like, we have to put it back. Like, you did what you did, right? Like, or does like, she not know?
Does Joey know?
Does Joey know? For
I
sure.
I think Joey doesn't know at this point in the conversation, but I think as soon as Andy says that Joey doesn't know her and doesn't know what she's capable of,
yeah,
I think then she Joey knows probably for sure. Knows.
Yeah. So you don't know what I'm capable of when I set my sights on something. I can't stop. And Joey says, you're a stubborn and determined person. There's nothing wrong with that. And Andy says, like, I got blinders on. I can only see what's in front of me. And somehow the edges get blocked out somehow. And she's like, I'm talking about Pacey. I love him. I need him. And the truth is, I don't know what the truth is anymore. And Joey has to know. And she consoles Andy anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, she gave her, like, some side hug action.
I don't think we've ever seen Joey give another person a hug.
Her father, maybe, but like a friend, probably not.
I don't even know if I've seen her hug Dawson.
I don't know. But I think that, like, this is what makes Joey so great, right? Is that even though she knows Andy is lying, she can still tell that, like, Andy's in distress. Like, you don't do something like that without having serious issues, right? Like, you don't just lie about something like that unless you're either a sociopath or you're having some serious problems.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, Andy. I mean, let's look at Andy, right? Like, she goes into a hospital because she's having mental health concerns. She gets out of the hospital, immediately breaks it off with her. Like, she gets broken up with by her long-term boyfriend. And then things just, like, go downhill immediately. So, she's going through a rough time. And Joey is wonderful at consoling her. Yeah. And then we see kind of like a montage. So we have Constance hanging out with the drag queens and Jen joins them. It's very fun. Henry's like brooding by the docks because that's where everybody broods is by the docks. Mitch and Gail.
They're like talking.
By like firelight. They're on the floor of their deck. Bitch, how many chairs do you have around your fucking house?
Why a lot.
Why are you sitting on the floor?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Pacey is sanding true love.
Yes.
At all hours of the night. And then Joey is still consoling Andy and giving her like a hug. And they like head to head.
Yeah, head to head, head nod. Yeah. So obviously this episode isn't my favorite. It's like really tough to cover it just because it's pretty offensive in a lot of ways. Like the fact that they would even do a storyline this is really upsetting. And again, I just want to give out the number one more time for the National Sexual Assault Hotline. If you need it, 1-800-656-4673, available 24 hours. You can call and talk to somebody. I really hate the storyline. I really hate that it's Andy that has the storyline. It's really upsetting. Like, I don't even want to know how this is going to resolve. Like, I want to move on from it and, like, hope that it never comes back up again. I don't think we'll be that lucky, though.
I just don't know how we're going to get away with, like, this not coming out. Like, now there's a couple of things that are really, like, below the surface that could come out at any time. And it's going to be interesting how we like how we maneuver in the next few episodes, like what's going to happen, like what are we going to focus on. I thought this was going to be like lead right into the Eve stuff with the revelations that we got in the last episode, and I thought those were the secrets and lies, but that's this is, we get totally different secrets and lies, so I don't know like where they're going to go. And then of course like there's this like whole thing like after episode 7 or 8, like it totally changes direction because of the showrunner thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like these next few episodes are so critical as to like what we're going to cover, what we're going to talk about, like what's happening. Like it's such a mystery to me. It's like if we get like a new showrunner and everybody hates the storylines, like are they just going to like wipe the entire slate clean? Like, is that how drastic it is going to be? Like, what's the cleanup look like?
Yeah, there's so many things up in the air, I think. And the funny thing is, this next episode, I actually remember just based on the name. And it kind of comes at the perfect time for us because it's called Escape from Witch Island. And we are covering it right around Halloween.
Wow, look at us.
Look at our timing.
Look at us. should we, like, release it on Halloween?
We can. We could do an early release.
Is that crazy?
Would people like that?
Is that nuts? I don't know.
We'll think about it.
We'll think about it.
But Escape from Witch Island is next. I remember this episode.
Escape from Witch Island.
Yes. Spooky.
Okay. So this is going to be a theme episode.
I mean, you could tell it's like kind of spooky, right? Just by the name.
Is this going to be like as like kitschy as the?
I want to say it is a little tropey, but I feel like it's going to be. I mean, there's a low bar, but I think it's going to be better than the last one we covered.
But is it going to be
serial killer on the loose and all that?
Yeah, is it going to be better than Corey Matthews as a werewolf?
Oh, of course. I mean, like, it's not hard. Again, very low bar.
Very low bar.
It won't be better than the fantastic Boy Meets World episode that we are, like, super pumped to cover in, what, like, season 6. It's not going to be better than that.
Season 5.
It's not going to be better than that. So that is next coming up. So before we get into feedback, we're going to take a quick break for the ad here.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Are you ready to get into some amazing feedback?
I'm ready.
Excited.
So we have an email from Rose titled Behind the Scenes Facts and Some Thoughts. The Pacey-Joey relationship was set up since the beginning of season 3. However, during that time, there was still talk in the writer's room about pivoting back to Dawson and Joey. Once the showrunner was fired mid-season, which were like right around there, the writers and network decided to commit to the idea of a PJ romance. I mean, that's a little spoilery, but not surprising.
Yeah, right? I mean, you knew it was going to happen.
I knew it was coming.
Tell just based on how this season is going
that
what's coming up.
Yeah. While I have no problem with Pacey and Joey's interactions per se, I really hate that the writers started the pushing the PJ romance before properly resolving Pandy. That's how we feel, Rose. Mm-hmm. That's what we feel. Andy was barely mentioned in the first episode of season 3. Instead, we heard Pacey talking about Joey's truly remarkable brown eyes and the way she tucks her hair behind her ears. I think someone in the writer's room was obsessed with Katie Holmes because Pacey's the first of the many men to comment on the way that Joey tucks her hair behind her ears.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's an iconic Katie Holmes thing because I was watching somebody do an impression of Katie Holmes and they tucked the hair behind the ears.
I do too. I think it is a Katie Holmes thing.
Yeah. Not to mention Pacey's Massimo, you're fancy, Rose. Seems to be dialed up and all his character growth
was machismo. Ignored. Is it machismo?
What does that mean?
machismo? It's like when you're like super masculine. How is it spelled? Is it M-H-C-H-I-S-M-O? Machismo? Yeah, machismo.
Wow.
Look at that. Rose, you fancy girl.
Rose is study for the PSATs, unlike me and Andy. Andy was written as a flat, two-dimensional control freak. She was not giving any likable traits to round her out. Everybody was out of character. Agree. The cheating storyline did not feel earned and came off as lazy way to open the door for PJ. We absolutely agree. That's how we feel. In fact, in season three, episode three, the episode after Pacey and Andy break up, a love triangle between Dawson, Pacey, and Joey is foreshadowed. Yes. I foresee. P.S. This is very interesting. Did you know that on-screen love triangle was fueled by an off-screen love triangle between Katie, James, and Josh? Katie dated James very briefly before falling in love with Josh. Michelle Williams confirmed it in a Howard Stern interview, and she sent us a link to the interview below.
Ooh, we're going to watch that later.
We'll tweet that out.
Fun.
That is saucy. I never heard that. Have you ever heard that, Jess?
I knew the Joshua Jackson thing, but no, I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
But James and Katie?
Whoa, no wonder things were so spicy on set.
Well, didn't they say that, like, Josh and James were, like, actually having real beef, too?
Yeah, but I thought it was just, like, they're two teenage boys. Like,
you know, I feel like it probably, I think they were probably fighting over Katie Holmes.
Probably.
Okay. And we have two voicemails today, Jessica.
Yes, we do. So the first one is from the amazing Temi. We get emails from him often, so I'm super excited to get a voicemail from him. Here is Temi.
Hi, this is Temi. If you're going to be a wide deceiver as opposed to Jack's wide receiver, which I don't recommend, by the way, realize how much work it's going to take. Set up a bulletin board in your room. Have some briefing book binders a la Leslie Knope. Andy, you have to keep track of your deceits better if that's what you're going to go for.
A wide deceiver instead of a wide receiver.
Temi, that sounds like a dad joke. I love that for you.
I know. So thank you, Temi. We love getting your feedback. And then we also have a second voicemail. This is from Dirtbag Kelly. So here he is.
What are you doing, Pacey? Pacey, what are you doing? You're going to take Andy to the boat. You're going to touch her face. You're going to let her kiss you.
Yeah, you are.
And then, I know it was off screen, but you did it, didn't you, Pacey? We know you did. Like, you're the same dude that got down with the teacher, so, like, you christened true love, didn't you, with Andy? That's what you did.
God. I mean, you...
Pacey, what are you doing? And then the next day, you're gonna give Andy that speech. Like, it has been 6 months, bro. Like, maybe it's time to, like, let it go. Like, you could forgive her. She did make a mistake. It's not that big of a deal. Anyways, Henry was pretty good this episode.
It was Henry.
Kind of a decent episode, I guess. I don't know. Miss Freckles or Friendles or whatever her name. She was jamming at that concert, I guess. And she was having drinks later, so that was kind of fun. November 10th. 1999 air date.
Thank you.
Till next week, ladies.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Dirtbag Kelly.
Like, literally, Pacey, what you doing? And actually, I feel like this is a big deal. We never even said that, like, he christened the boat.
Well, because it was still questionable whether or not they did. But I suppose they could.
I feel like christening the boat's very exciting.
I mean, yeah, I don't disagree.
Oh, but he's going to bring Joey on true love. Oh, come on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for that wonderful feedback. I love Dirtbag Kelly's exasperation with life, it seems.
Yeah.
Just the sigh and pacing.
I feel like true love is where all the teens should go now.
To hang out?
That should be the hookup spot now.
Yeah, but they need some cushions and stuff, right?
Splinters. There's
that's
a lot of
what
splinter.
I'm saying.
High splinter possibility.
That's what I'm saying. It's risky business.
If you want to send in your feedback, you can send us an email through our website or www.shit90spod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail through our website www.shit90spod.com.
All right. Shall we get into the fashion of the hour?
I'm ready.
Amazing. So we're going to start with our Rachel Green Award, as we always do. This is for the most 90s outfit. And of course, we all knew I was going here as soon as this bitch walked into the party. We're going Jen Lindley, first pick on the board. The twisty hair that is happening is everything. Okay.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't take me 17 hours to do this to my hair, I'd fucking rock this look.
I don't even know how to achieve it, though.
I think you just twist your hair up and then you just pin it in these little twisties. So she is wearing a kind of velvety, very deep scoop neck shirt. Also in the back it scoops down, which I really love. This oversized necklace, this huge pendant, it hangs very low down. And her skirt is super strange looking. It's green and has this weird pattern down the side. And then she's wearing, of course, she has to rock some boots with this look. What do you think of this outfit from Jen?
I think I like it from the waist up and hate it from the waist down. That skirt is literally the ugliest thing. I don't like that necklace either. I think that she's wearing tights. So then in actuality, I just like the shirt and I just like the hair.
I think the thing is with the skirt, it kind of looks like something you would wear to a Scottish or Irish festival or something.
Yeah.
It's giving me kilt vibes or something.
Why couldn't she wear a nice dress? Why couldn't she wear the sex dress again? Why does
she
have
to wear
this? To
be extra and she has to do something to piss off Constance, right? That's the whole point.
Ugly. It's such an ugly ensemble.
It is.
And it's this is a fancy event. Why do you have to do this?
Yeah, no, it's not great. Next up, I picked Andy, and this is, a couple times we see this outfit kind of the morning after when she's talking to Pacey. So she has, her hair is down and kind of has a side part. She has a couple bobby pins in it holding it back. She still has the horrendous tiny bangs. She's wearing, the reason I chose this is because this type of skirt, it's almost like a pencil skirt, but a little bit more loose, and it goes down to her knee,
yeah.
Which is a bit on the long side for, I feel like, someone of this age group. She has on a very light pink sweater. I believe the shirt underneath it is of a similar color to the skirt. And then she's wearing those chonky ass platform sandals, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, I feel like we have to reward her for not being an Oshkosh B'gosh reject. So yes, she's actually looking of a significant age again. She's finally not looking like a child. She doesn't look like a dweeb. I think this is a great look for Andy. I think that she got her groove back. Maybe all of her clothes from Providence got sent back to her. I don't know what happened, but thank God she looks better.
Yeah, she definitely has a better look than the Oshkosh B'gosh look for sure. And finally, I did struggle a bit with this episode in finding 90s outfits. I honestly thought there were more timeless outfits. But the last 90s outfit I have is from Joey. And the reason I chose this outfit, this is when she goes to help out Andy. And also when she's having lunch with Andy and Pacey, she's wearing khaki pants, which are very 90s. She's wearing a blue, kind of a Henley looking type of shirt. It has some buttons down the front. It's very baby blue light. And the sweater she's wearing is the reason I chose this outfit. And it's because it's one of those hunter green, mountain sweaters.
She loves to wear these Christmas sweaters.
She really does. She loves a what you would call crusty sweater.
Yeah, it definitely looks very crusty. Yes. I want to give the award to Andy this episode. She's not quite back to fashion queen status, but it's a humongous improvement from her.
Yeah, all right. Congratulations, Andy. Moving on to the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. We're starting off with Pacey, and this is when he is, like, at his boat, and Andy's giving him that the cap and all of that. He is wearing, like, black, just normal, like, black slacks, and he's wearing this maroon sweatshirt, which it's I think is, like, it does, it looks very comfy, and it's a little bit baggier than we would probably see nowadays. But it, to me, it looked like something that you could see anybody wearing.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, he looks like a teen boy. Like, that's great. I love it when our characters look like they are dressing as like a teen. Like, yes. he looks good. Like, this is like, he's standing true love. He's doing his work. So he looks good for this activity.
Yes. Next up, I have Constance. Whatever her last name is. What is it? Freckling. She is wearing this gown that we saw her making. So it's kind of like a silvery lavender, I guess. It's
pretty.
Has these like draped thing, like off, what is it called? Like off the shoulder, like draped sleeves.
Yeah, they're like little draped cap sleeve type.
Yes.
Something.
I think it's, yeah, like a draped cap sleeve. Like, very, like, silky looking, like, chiffon type of material. I mean,
she makes this dress. It looks beautiful.
It's beautiful. I even think her necklace is gorgeous and fits perfectly with the dress. Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know if they're gems or they're, like, freshwater pearls, but they're, like, these little beads, and there's, like, three different bands all kind of chunked together. These nice earrings. Her hair is very short, but even her makeup, I think, is kind of like a classic look here.
Yeah, she looks beautiful. I think that this is a lovely look. I think that this is prettier than like most Mother of the Bride's dresses.
Oh God, they're always hideous.
They're always so, like, if you know, she wants to start her own dressmaking company, then she should. I still think that she probably should make dresses for the homecoming queens, not herself.
I don't know why she doesn't.
She looked lovely. She did a great job.
She did. And last up on my list for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness is Gail. And this is her gala attire. She is wearing a long, like, beautiful dark purple gown, strapless. Again, Gail does not look old. It's ridiculous to me that that's an excuse they would make up.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
She has, like, a long necklace pendant. Her hair is, like, honestly, her hair does give me Anchorwoman vibes.
Yeah, it's big, has lots of secrets.
Yes.
Secrets and lies.
Yes, and her makeup, I think, does look pretty timeless. Like, it's a pretty nice look, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, when Gail dresses up, like, it's always, like, she always looks beautiful.
Like, this reminds me of, like, the Amy Matthews effect, where it's, like, when they dress up, we're like, yes, queen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who to give it to? I mean, as much as Miss Freckling looks gorgeous, it'd be a throwaway vote. I like to put my finger on the pulse of the fashion awards. Mm-hmm. It's like Pacey is looking good, but he's wearing a sweatshirt, and that's a little basic.
Yeah, so, it was hard this episode. There wasn't, I mean, even though we were at the gala, I don't want to choose, like, a random person, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. Like, do we give it to Gail because she is dressing up? But I think, why not? I'll just give it back to Pacey.
Okay.
Why not? Why not, Pacey?
Congratulations to the couple that is definitely not together anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So that's our episode. I mean, I think it's definitely an interesting one. Like, it's certainly not one if I was going to look to, like, rewatch an episode. It's not one I would go to rewatch. But I'm glad we're through it and we are trucking through. We're going to make it through this really terrible part of Dawson's Creek. I thought, like, what was it? Was it last episode or the episode before where I was like, this was actually fun? Whereas this one, I'm kind of like, I really didn't like the story, the storyline.
Yeah, it's like, man, like, let's move on. Like, I just hope that it just doesn't drag out this whole thing. I don't want it to be painful. And
yeah,
I have a feeling that it's definitely going to become a thing.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So next week we will be back covering Escape from Witch Island, which is season 3, episode 7. And maybe we'll release it on Halloween. Maybe we'll have an early release. Let us know if you want us to. As always, you can reach us on Twitter, on Instagram at @shit90spod. We have a website, shit90spod.com, and email address at shit90spod@gmail.com. We have so many things. This is why you say all of those things. I can't be trusted.
You took it on. You took it on.
I did.
So, aside from that, if you would like to catch me on the Wombat Water podcast, I was a guest recently. We determined what the best coconut water was, and that was a ton of fun. So check that out. And if you, once again, don't know, if there was no Wombat Water, there would be no Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
It's very true.
We tip our hat to them, our sister podcast. Thank you for having me on. Jess was in a good amount of those episodes as well. Mm-hmm. And she's always great.
Yeah, go check out that podcast. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Just follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @shit90spod. Myself, Sarah Ferguson. Jess.
I am at the Jess Sterling. You can also hear me, as always, on Community Building and Succession, which is just starting back up on HBO Max. If you want to go check those out at post show recaps, please do. I think that's all we've got. So we will talk to you all next week for more Dawson's Creek content. Thank you, everybody, and have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.